Welcome back to Arkansas State. It's the Zone, live from Arkansas State Media Days. It's the football media days. Guys, you know, we've had a lot of interviews on today, and one that I've really been looking forward to is the one that we're going to have right now. It's the athletic director, Terry Mahajer. Phil Elson's back in the studio.
Hey, Phil.
Morning, Terry. How are you? Great. Nice to hear your voice.
And Justin's off today, so that's how I get to fill in this week from Arkansas State Media Days.
Hey, we appreciate you guys coming to Jonesboro, man. That's huge. Thank you so much.
Big, big week for you guys. Football season starts, essentially tomorrow with practice starting. And then you've got a new head coach in Brian Harsin. You guys have made more news over the offseason than I think any major college football team, because not only do you get a brand new coach, well, you have a coach leave in Gus Malzahn, then you hire a good coach in Harsin, but then you announce your scheduling. You've got Missouri, Auburn, USC. I mean, you guys are making news left and right.
Well, we got to keep the momentum going. And strategy-wise, we want to keep in front of the press. Let things play out, let people know what we're trying to do, especially when there's slow news times, you know, during this time. So it's good. We've gotten a lot of good press. We're really excited about all the different things. Now we just have to win some games.
Now, let's go back and talk about the scheduling. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it, but Miami, for example, you've got that's a home-and-home series with Miami, right?
Yes.
And then you're going to USC, and you've got Missouri on the schedule this year.
Yes. Home and home with Missouri.
With Missouri. I mean, when you go and schedule these big, I mean, we say big-time teams because they're in larger conferences.
Yeah, the power conference.
What's the mindset behind that? Because a lot of teams, you know, we talked about a lot of these power conferences aren't playing FCS schools anymore. But, you know, the payout's not always as big sometimes if you play like a Missouri, things like that, with a home and home. What's the mindset when you schedule those schools?
Well, we have a value. I mean, I think the fact that the Big Ten now is not going to play FCS schools, at least for right now, what they're saying, and the fact that our market value, we've had some success, so people will be willing to pay us top dollar to go someplace, or be willing, if they can't pay top dollar, do a home and home.
Yeah.
And you know, our philosophy, and people have probably heard me say, is that I have a four-prong approach when we're doing scheduling, and that is budget purposes, expanding our season ticket base, national brand, what we can do to enhance our national brand, and then I'm drawing a blank on my fourth one.
You got three-prong approach.
Competitive advantage. Yes. No, competitive advantage. So, giving an example on competitive advantage. We're in 14, we've got Tennessee and Miami on the schedule.
Yeah.
I've been trying to schedule a SEC opponent. I won't name the name. And they call us last week and said, would they be willing to do a home-and-home with us?
Really?
Yes, another one, additional to the ones we've already got scheduled. And they would start here in 14, and we'd have to come back. But competitive advantage-wise, we have to go back to our philosophy is we already got Tennessee on the schedule. Yeah. We already have purposes Miami on the schedule, adding another SEC on there. So would probably be not a great thing for our program right now. We got to still now the team that we're going to end up scheduling could possibly beat that team.
Yeah.
They're a very strong team, but on the back end, we have, I think, our probability of how we look at beating teams and the probabilities you got to kind of bet on the come a little bit is far greater than the other way. So yeah, those are all, we look at those every day. We value scheduling. We make calls daily on scheduling. So a lot of times people want to do that themselves. You know, some of the athletic directors want to handle themselves for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't have that type of ego. We have a guy in our department that calls. Now, nothing's ever done without myself or Harsin signing off on it.
Yeah.
And so that's why we've been able to get some of these contracts. You know, some people just flat out won't play us because they won't play us.
Yeah.
And they make no bones about it. They're not ready to play us.
Games like USC, for example, where you're going to go out there, a lot of people call those money games. Now, you don't call those money games.
I don't call them the money
games. You on overtime with Trey and Matt, and you what was the term you used for money games?
Advanced training.
Advanced training games, and your philosophy behind that is?
Well, the advanced training games is, number one, it's a different mindset. People think, oh, money games, you can't win those.
Yeah.
Money games. Advanced training games are, you have to go along with our philosophy. in order for us to build a national brand, you have to do two things. You have to win your conference and beat people you're not supposed to beat.
Yeah.
Well, when you're playing the best teams and top five brands like a USC, mm-hmm. you don't want to say, hey, we're going out there just to make money. We're going out there to help our program get better, to be a national brand, to compete. We're not just taking money.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, that's why we schedule teams like that.
If I recall, about 4 years ago, Arkansas State beat Texas A&M, who is a power team.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
And so what happened that year? And that's a great example.
They went to the New Orleans Bowl that year.
No, they didn't. So Texas A&M, they didn't go to a bowl that year.
Bro, I'm talking about Arkansas State went to the New Orleans Bowl that year, didn't they?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, they go out there and beat A&M. They beat a team they weren't supposed to. They didn't win the conference.
Gotcha.
Okay, so they're 6-6, or maybe they had a losing. They didn't end up going to postseason.
Okay.
So you don't. So that's important. You got to take advantage of the momentum. Yeah. You look at Utah. You look at the Miami Hurricanes. You look at Louisville. You look at Boise State. You look at TCU. You study this over the last 30 years in college football. Those teams have taken advantage of the momentum that they've beat those big teams. When Louisville beat Alabama in the Fiesta Bowl by about 35 points.
Yeah.
You know what? That was the catalyst for their program.
Yeah.
All right? And the momentum. So you look at all that stuff. We have to, you know, people look at Miami, University of Miami. You know, they won four national championships while they were in the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
Four. Because they dominated the conference and they would go beat Notre Dame or they go beat Florida State or beat someone like that. Since they've been in the ACC, you look at conference, since they've been in the ACC, they haven't won it once, and nor have they won a national championship.
Good point, yeah.
No, so you have to look at your conference, what conference you're affiliated with, how you're scheduling postseason. It's an art, not a science.
Well, since we're talking about scheduling, something that has been brought up to me, and I'm an alumni of UCA, so I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. But one thing that was great was seeing UCA and ASU play a couple years ago here at the stadium. Will we see that series again, yes or no?
I would love to.
Yeah.
First of all, congratulations to UCA's baseball team. What a great year they had. Congratulations to very proud. They're an in-state school, so you want to support your in-state schools. And so, yes, we would love to. I want to schedule UCA every year. We try to play them every year.
Yeah.
Our policy is, my policy is, that we do play in-state teams. We play Pine Bluff this year, obviously, and I think instead of playing an FCS team or someone from the SWAC, why not play in their own state?
Yeah.
You know, UCA, we're trying to schedule games. The issue with UCA, their market value right now, they can go play maybe, and I'm just giving an example, and I don't know who they're playing, but a Big Ten team or maybe, not Big Ten anymore because they won't play FCS, but like a Big 12 team or maybe for...
Well, they've got Colorado, for example.
Yeah, Colorado will probably pay them a lot more than we will.
Yeah.
Now, is it, you know, for their fans to travel and stuff, it's better? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've talked to their AD. He's a great guy, and we're trying to schedule them. We want to play UCA.
Yeah.
That's a great game. Our head coach wants to play UCA. We're in basketball. I've told our head coach, let's try to schedule a couple Division II teams in the state, give them a chance to come up to Arkansas State and play them. When I was at the University of Kansas, we always played a Division II team every year.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good for those kids that grew up in Arkansas that they can have a chance to play us. Hey, you know what? We're supposed to beat those teams.
I understand.
You know what?
Yeah.
And if we get beat, then we get beat.
Let me ask you this. If you did something like that with the UCA, though, and you wanted to do an every year type thing.
We play UCA in basketball.
In basketball,
So why wouldn't we play them in football?
Would you do a home-and-home, though, situation for football?
No, we would not. Absolutely not.
That's why I was asking. If you did an every year type thing.
No, they'd have to come here every year.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we cannot, by conference rule, cannot play in FCS at their site.
Okay. Well, a lot of folks have asked.
No, but if we went, there'd be no advantage for us to do
it. I understand.
They would, you know, just, you know, we'd schedule, you know. And I love it. I think it'd be a great game for their fans, a good game for our fans. They can come up here. It's a short drive.
Yeah.
And it's one of our in-state schools, and I think it's good.
Let's get off the scheduling for a minute and talk about, since Brian Harsin and the success that you've had over the last few years here at Arkansas State, how have ticket sales gone? How's the community come around and really, you know, jumped in on, like, season tickets and things of that nature?
Well, the community's fantastic, and, you know, even our most ardent Razorback fans and Jonesboro are very supportive, you know, so I think that's really helped. And I think that's one advantage of not playing them. And, you know, I think the business community has really got behind this place. This place is an emerging university.
Yeah.
Or an emerging athletic department. We are, you know, we're not this sleepy little school in Northeast Arkansas anymore. We are a statewide program.
Yeah.
We're going to build a national brand. We have high hopes. We have set our course to play in the BCS bowl game.
Yeah.
The only variable is time.
Yeah. You know, we heard it last year from Gus Malzahn, and I think you've even brought it up a couple times, that Arkansas State wants to be the Boise State of Arkansas, basically. And is that a fair assessment of what you guys are trying to to get that brand out there?
No, I mean, I don't really use that statement, even though we hired a guy that was at Boise for a long time, because people really don't know what they mean when they say be the Boise State of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Because the scheduling philosophy of people that say that were not the same scheduling philosophy of the people. See, so they don't understand what they mean. What that means is you do two things. You dominate your conference, you win your conference, and you beat teams you're not supposed to beat.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Before Boise, it was Louisville.
Yeah.
Before Louisville, it was Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Before them, it was TCU. You know, so you look at TCU. You know why they're in the Big 12 now. 4 years ago, TCU, their annual revenue distribution from the Mountain West was $1 million a year.
Really?
$1 million a year. Because they dominated their conference and won it every year, and beat teams in the BCS Bowls, and beat Oklahoma, and they beat North Carolina, and they beat Clemson. Now their annual revenue is going to be upward in the $39 million.
Really?
Yes.
Had no idea.
And, yeah, that's the way it is. I mean, their school's not any bigger than us.
Yeah. Wow.
So you're building a brand. It's not about households. Everybody says, oh, it's about TV marketing. It's not about TV markets.
Mm-hmm.
It's about your brand value. That's why I say it all the time, brand value. And how you do that, you got to win, you got to beat teams. You got to get people from New York to turn on the TV to watch Arkansas State. You got to get people from L.A. to turn on the TV to watch Arkansas State. So we're going into the second largest media market in the world, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hell. And if you compete and you beat them, you're building a brand.
People know you.
That's right.
That is great. That's a great philosophy. And when you talk about TV games this year, you're playing Troy on September the 12th. That's going to be on ESPNU.
Yes.
And then on October the 22nd or 23rd, it's going to be ESPN or ESPN2.
Yeah. And then we're playing on the SEC network against Auburn.
Yeah.
We're playing, and I'm not sure what the American Athletic Conference, if we're on their network yet, for the Memphis game, and then Missouri, I'm sure, will pick it up somehow. So we're going to be on TV a lot this year.
Hot button subject for you real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of you, we've heard coaches like, Steve Spurrier come out and talk about paying players.
Yes.
And saying that this is what we need. This is the future of college football.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about paying student athletes to play a game for their university?
I mean, look, there's a lot of people. I think right now the stipends is a political football. I truly believe, and when I was in the Big 12, that was not something that was very supportive.
Yeah.
People are using that to look at the NCAA governance.
Mm-hmm.
People are very unhappy about the NCAA governance and how the structure is being run. Steve Spurrier is talking about his own silo of his coaches. You know, he's not talking about how it affects the rest of the athletic department, gender equity, Title IX, all that kind of stuff. People don't realize this, though, how, you know, if you are, they say, well, little Johnny can't afford to take his girlfriend to a movie. If you need financial aid, number one, you have Pell Grants, all right? Everybody knows what a Pell Grant is. That's $5,500. Plus, you have student opportunity funds that you have access to. There's not too many kids now that have if they need a sport coat, they need some clothes, they can get it paid for.
Yeah.
Okay? You need deodorant, a little toothpaste, and all that kind of stuff. You know, you can get it paid for. So they're, you know, the value of what you're spending on each one of those kids. University of Michigan, Dave Brannon, which is a really smart guy. I got to know him a little bit, just learned a little bit about his leadership. He was the CEO of Domino's. He said, you know, I looked at the value of what we're spending at the University of Michigan on each student. It's over $1.5 million. Over a four-year period.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
When you talk about trainers, charters, medical care. Some of these student-athletes, people don't realize that. And when you're some of these elite programs, they travel better than Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 CEOs.
A lot of teams fly in those bigger conferences, fly to ball games.
Well, every one of them. I mean, look.
Well, yeah.
They all do. But the basketball, the women's basketball, everybody's kind of charged. I mean, these guys, so I'm not – I mean, look, I the cost and tendency, and they say, well, you know, the big conferences want to, you know, pay stipends, and the group of five, us, the Memphises and the SMUs and the Cincinnati's and all those – it's not going to change. If they want to pay those guys, it's fine. It's not going to change us. But the old, I'm just speculating, the Iowa States of the world and the Ole Misses of the world that don't quite have the budgets that Texas and Alabama do.
Yeah.
That's a big cost for them too.
Yeah.
You're talking about across the board.
Yeah.
So I think, again, the stipends of political football to just get people to start talking about the governance of the NCAA.
Well, Terry Mahajer, tell you, you have thrown more at me today than I'm just blown away by it. This has been great, and I appreciate you coming on. I tell you, you can tell, though, that ASU is starting to become a player when you come to an event like this, like Media Days, and you have a room packed full of media members to come hear what Brian Harsin has to say, a guy that when you were looking for a coach, not a lot of people knew who he was right off the top. You know, people were throwing out big-time names, and not a lot of people knew who Brian Harsin is, but now you've got guys coming in to want to know a little bit more about him.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't on the I, of course, knew him just because it wasn't on the radar screen, but I think once people said, whoa, it's pretty cool. So we're real excited to have him. He's doing all the right things. And you know what? He's in his element, man. He's talking ball every day. He gets to coach these kids up, and we're thrilled to death to have him. And we're, we gotta win some games this year.
Gotta win some games, and they all start on August 31st against Arkansas Pine Bluff here at Liberty Bank Stadium, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Terry Mahajer, the athletic director of Arkansas State University. Thank you for joining us, Terry Mahajer.
Thanks, my man. Appreciate it. Take care, guys. Back in the studio.
Thanks, Terry.
See you, man. Bye.
Bill Elson, I tell you, what a lot of insight right there. We just got all in one big bundle of joy from Terry Mahajer.
Yeah, doesn't shy away from some of the big questions. I'm interested in how he talks about developing the brand of Arkansas State football, because when I think of the brand right now, I think of a team that's really, building that brand upwards, a very exciting club that is becoming a breeding ground for top-notch coaches.
Yeah. No, you're right. You've got two coaches that have left to go to SEC schools, and it's been quite interesting to see the development of Arkansas State football over the last two or three years. Before the break, we talked about, and sorry I keep popping some of these interviews on you like that. They just kind of show up, and so we throw them in, and we get kind of off.